ونحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له، واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن الا وانتم مسلمون. يا ايها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحده فخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والارحام ان الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم اعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. اما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. الحمد لله وطيب الله من سكي بسيطة من سكي فجدنا من سكي وفيدنا الله من بإيزة ناساز مع بعديد وضع الله بعد وزنة من المشاهد وضع الشيء الذي يزنو بعد فهم. I do not look for no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners. And I do not look for Muhammad as the slave and his messenger. O you who believe to Allah, as you ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, say your Lord has created you from a single soul and created from it its mate, and started from them too many men and women. And to Allah for whom you deny your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the ones that bore you. Indeed, Allah is the Rafiq over you. O you who believe to Allah and say that which is correct, in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins, and whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement in my Ba'idu. Certainly the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen, and every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a sin, and every sin is in the hellfire. Before we begin tonight's class on Aqidah and the Kitab al-Ibana عن أصول الديانة لأبي الحسن العشري رحمه الله and his statement ونقول إن الإمام الفاضل بعد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أبو بكر الصديق رضوان الله عليه وإن الله سبحانه وتعالى أعز به الدين وأظهره على المرتدين وقدمه المسلمون للإمامة كما قدمه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم للصلاة وسموه بأجمعهم خليفة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم. Before we begin the translation of this point and the explanation, I wanted to bring up a point, and I hope that I'm reminded to bring this point up a couple of times before the people understand this point, inshallah. This is the point of differencing of an opinion in Islam. And we've had a lecture on it before, al-ikhtilaf, or differencing of an opinion. And some of the ayah and the hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, the statements of the ulama concerning differences in Islam. So right now we just want to make a point that's simple for all of us to know, and it's a point that we have to understand when we look at understanding the deen of Islam, inshallah ta'ala. This is the point that I'm faced with often. You differ with the ulama, and you with no knowledge, how do you have the right to differ with the ulama? I want to be the first one to say that I don't have the right to differ with the ulama. I don't have any knowledge in light of the knowledge of the ulama. And I'm the first one to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded me and those on my level and lower, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask for people, Ahlul Dhikr, the people who have knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah, when you don't know. And this is what we do. However, at times when we ask Ahlul Dhikr, we find that they differ.
Okay, which one are you going to take from Ahlul Zikr? We said that it's important for us to know the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَبَشِّرْ عِبَادِ أَلَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلَ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَهُ. I give glad tidings to my servants, those who listen to what is being said and then follow the best of it. It's impossible for us to listen and to take both sides if one is saying that it's permissible and the other one is saying it's not permissible. And then sometimes one says it's compulsory and the other says it's recommended. Or one says it's highly recommended and the other one just says it's simply permissible. Okay, it will be impossible on us to take both of the sides if the ulama differ, and then it would be upon us to take one of the sides. If we take one of the sides, then we're taking one of the sides of the ulama, with their understanding and the application of a particular ayah or a particular hadith or a particular verdict in the deen of al-Islam. When the issue comes down to our level, it's going to be, as we mentioned, our position or the ulama, who we thought had the strongest position in any particular issue. If the people say, well, so-and-so's position is such and such. And most of the time the people leave out that your position is actually the position of so-and-so men from amongst the ulama in light of this ayah or this hadith or this group of ayah or this group of hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And so it becomes as if, well, you differ with Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, or you differ with Imam Ibrahim al-Nakhai from amongst the Tabi'in, or you differ with Abdullah bin Abbas from amongst the Sahaba, or you differ with Imam al-Awza'i from amongst the ulama at the Tabi'in. Okay, did you differ with these ulama? No, the person didn't differ with these ulama, but there you happen to be with other ulama who differ with those ulama who had, in our light, stronger evidence, stronger proof, and this is why we went with them. It's important for us to know that on these issues of difference of an opinion, it isn't that we, the people who have no knowledge, is differing with the people of knowledge, because we don't even stand up for them to differ with them, as we don't even understand. We can say simply, to give an easy example, anyone who doubts that he's not on the level of the ulama, you don't even know if the hadith is authentic or not. Some of the people, if they say, no, the hadith is da'if. And another says, so now the hadith is sahih. You don't know what in the world to begin to look at to know if it's this one or that one. And this is just on the issue of hadith, let alone the verdict and the understanding that's going to come from it. And most of us, if you don't know the Arabic language, there's not even tafsir in English. Okay, how are you even going to get an understanding of the ayah if there's no book of tafsir to explain the statements of the Salaf and the ulama pertaining to these ayah? Wallahi, we don't have what it takes to stand on the same level with the ulama to even debate with the ulama. However, the ulama are on the level with the ulama to debate with the ulama. And then it's upon us, the ordinary people, to listen to what the ulama says and to follow what we find to be the most weightiest and the strongest position. The reason I brought this up in particular is this specific reason, this issue of Nafsul Zirar has gone, alhamdulillah, over a year and something now, or about a year. And the people who repented, alhamdulillah, and the issue was explained, and the people understand that it's not permissible to make salah in that place afterwards. And the people understand that those foolish people who remain with that nasr dirar, the people understand that those people are in need of the nasiha of the rest of the Muslims. And that boycotting them and spanking them won't do them any good, because they're just so stubborn that the only thing you can do is to advise. Everybody understands this, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. So saying that in light of this whole year, I haven't heard anybody come with any ayah, any hadith, any statements of the ulama of the Salaf or the ulama before this generation and explanation of these ayat and this hadith and the positions pertaining to Masjid al-Dhurar. What you hear is, said so-and-so, said this, and Abu Muslima said that, and who is Abu Muslima in light of Sheikh so-and-so. I'm the first one to tell the people before the issue, I'm nobody in light of Sheikh so-and-so. And that don't make the issue me and Sheikh so-and-so, because I'm the first one that's going to say Sheikh so-and-so was right, and I'm wrong. However, on these issues, where we, the people who don't have any knowledge, that can't stand on the same level with the ulama, we still have to listen to what the ulama say and follow that which is correct. Okay, if Sheikh so-and-so said something, and he said that I said something different, I say, no, I didn't say something different. Imam al-Tabari said something different. Imam al-Qurtubi, rahimahullah, said something different. Imam al-Sayyid al-Jawziyyah, he said something different. Imam so-and-so said something different. And the evidences are with ayah. And the evidences are with hadith. So Sheikh so-and-so saying something, let Sheikh so-and-so know that it's not between me and him because we're not on his level. Let Sheikh so-and-so know it's between him and those ulama who are on his level or above his level. Now show us why we should leave off the statements of Atta or the statements of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Show us why we should leave off the statements of Shaykh al-Islam and Tutaymiyyah. Show us why we should leave off the statements of these ulama and follow alim so-and-so. We want to listen to his case, just like we listen to their case. Okay, we listen to the case of the ulama. It's been like it was based on the book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger, ayah salatu wa salam. And we follow book, and we don't have any doubt in our deen, alhamdulillah, that the truth is from Allah, and we're not from amongst the body. But the people have something, bring your proof of your system. Show why the ulama are wrong, so we can follow you. If this is the case, as I told some of the brothers, I saw the hadith, I said the hadith is authentic. If the middle hadith is da'if, I tell him, Sheikh so-and-so said the hadith is sahih. He said, well, Sheikh so-and-so said that the hadith was da'if. We only know what we are witness to, and we're not responsible for what we don't know. If it comes to us that, as a person from the people of knowledge, that we ask pertaining to a hadith, what's the verdict of this hadith? What's the level of authenticity? He said the hadith is authentic. Okay, we were commanded to ask the people of knowledge. What's he amongst the people of knowledge when it comes to giving a verdict on the hadith? Is it authentic or not? Yes. Okay, we took that verdict. The same thing for the other case. However, this is what came to us, and we're practicing it. Now, if another case comes with another verdict, okay, he has to show why the Sheikh that we took his verdict is incorrect. Sheikh so-and-so was mistaken because this is like that and it's like that, and for this, the hadith is da'if and is not authentic. And we can listen to the argument, it sounds clear to us. Alhamdulillah, we were mistaken. We were commanded to ask Sheikh so-and-so. We asked him, he gave us the verdict, and we worked by it. Okay, it came clear to us that Sheikh was mistaken, as this Sheikh explained to us his mistake. He thought, Astaghfirullah, and then follow that which is correct. This is what is upon us. But not all the time can this Sheikh bring the evidence to refute that Sheikh, as with a blanket statement from him, and it's a blanket statement from him. We ask him first, we trust him, he's reliable, we went by the verdict. After all, the verdict of Sheikh so-and-so, we don't know anything about it. This will change course, and this is what we're practicing. And I tried to give an example of this in our class at a kiss in Islam for the women, when the Sheikh Ahmed al-Aysawi, hafidhullah, when he was writing his book, he gave a verdict to one of the hadith that the hadith is da'if. And he explained why the hadith is da'if. And he said that Sheikh Muhammad Nasruddin al-Albani, who everybody agrees to his knowledge of the hadith, said the hadith is sahih. And the Sheikh was explaining, I'm not the one to go against the Sheikh. All I'm saying is the Sheikh said it was sahih based on some stuff I never saw. So I only can go by what I know and what came to me. The Sheikh, he knows more than me, and he knows stuff I ain't seen, He can make that verdict. I can't make the verdict that the Shaykh makes because I don't have what he has. And alhamdulillah, we have brought in that class that what Shaykh al-Albani had as his evidence was printed and published after Shaykh Ahmad al-Aysawi wrote the book. And he said, if I knew the Shaykh's evidence to support this, I would say the same thing that the Shaykh said. So we brought what the Shaykh said later and approved that point that the Shaykh Ahmad al-Aysawi was Muslim. And we would say that the Shaykh, if this came to him, that he would have accepted it along with his position. So I'm making this point to say that once the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with understanding and the application of the ulama of Islam, when it comes to us, then it's upon us to follow. What about Shaykh so-and-so? He says opposite to that. So this is what came to us. It's in light of the Quran and the Sunnah and the statements of the ulama. This is what we want to be following. Somebody got a problem to it. All of our ears are open to truth, opening to listen. Just come to us and explain where we went wrong and why, and we'll follow. But just a blanket statement from somebody else after the Quran and the Sunnah and the explanation has come to us, and this blatant statement, it doesn't mean anything to us. And it's not to say that we know more than the ulama. Well, but now I'm so bad that I'm going to pose so-and-so amongst the shaykhs. All I'm saying is, all I can judge is on what came to me. And as far as those blanket statements, Allah didn't entrust me with that. He entrusted us with, فَإِن تَنَعَزَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ. If you differ in anything, then take it back to Allah and His Messenger. When Shaykh so-and-so says something to us, nah, it's a difference. We were already on the Quran and the Sunnah and the statements of the ulama. Where are we going back to except that which we have already been commanded to be upon? So I just wanted to clarify this point before we mention, before we get into our class, and I want to mention this a couple of times, so that the people don't think that, or now the people think that they're better than the ulama. This is a statement, unfortunately, is mentioned often in light of Ahl al-Sunnah. The people of deviance, the people of ignorance, it's their best attack on Ahl al-Sunnah. It's to say they think they're better than the scholars. Nobody thinks he's a scholar or thinks he's better than the scholars, except that we love them and we follow them with the evidence in the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Except that when we're upon that, and then another shaykh comes with something, and that shaykh has to clarify to us firstly what we're upon is incorrect and why, then he can show us his position. But just to come out and say, nah, that's wrong. How is somebody going to tell you, you're working, as we saw in the example that was recent, when the brother said, somebody gave me salam to the pastor, I respond to alaykum. Somebody asked, nah, that's wrong. Yeah, so what are you talking about? We're working on hadith of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Somebody else said you're wrong. Nah, this, that, listen, you have to explain why we can't work by this hadith of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi wa sallam. And this is the issue that we're trying. Not that somebody's saying that he knows more than the ulama, but that if somebody's going to come and show somebody why he's wrong when he's practicing a particular ayah or a hadith with understanding of the ulama, then they have to come and first explain that ayah that you are following with the understanding of Shaykh so-and-so is incorrect because of, and explain. That hadith that you're holding fast to, it isn't authentically reported on the Prophet ﷺ because of, and then to detail and explain. Otherwise, what the people are upon, they are upon. And this isn't to say that people are more knowledgeable than the ulama. It's saying that we've been doing what we've been commanded. We hear and we obey. This came from our Lord, and we accept it. And I mentioned before, and maybe this point would make it clearer, as the people question, why don't you have a mazhab, and why don't you follow one of the particular mazhabs? Do you think that you're more knowledgeable than the people of the mazhab? But they know we're not more knowledgeable than the ulama of the mazhab. Okay, why don't you follow them, the people of the mazhab? So we follow all of the ulama, and what they bring to us from the Quran, and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, and we don't say that we follow any one particular scholar in opposition to the other scholars. We've been commanded to ask the people of knowledge. And we've been commanded to follow them, and that which they brought to us from the Quran and the Sunnah. So when we're listening to what's being said, it's not saying that we're better than everybody else. Or we're not even saying that we have the faculty to even listen to all of the arguments like the ulama listen to. But according to the level we're upon, we're going to listen to that level and then make our decision and then follow that sheikh or that alim with his evidence from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of his Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. This is a reminder for myself and for the brothers not to feel that you think you're arrogant if the people attack by saying you think you're better than the scholars or what you do in practice in that. And so-and-so says that's not from Islam, and so on and so forth. When you're practicing the Quran and the Sunnah with the statements of the ulama, you just feel comfortable you're on the truth from your Lord. If somebody says something other than that, then it's upon him to explain. Otherwise, the people will take your money if it's on you to explain. Somebody dig his hand in your pocket, take the money, say, how much is it? If you don't know how much money it is, then see it's my money. But if it was yours, you know how much it is. How are you going to say it's yours when you know how much it is? So really, it's upon the people, after the people are upon that which they know to be the truth, it's upon the other people to come in and to explain how and why they are wrong. And when the other people come with their position, they don't have the right to say you think you're better than somebody, or you think that you know more than somebody because of the stance that you took, but it's just upon them to bring their evidence and to explain clearly why somebody is wrong and what they should be on with the truth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. I don't know if I made this point clear or if the people understand where I'm coming or if there's any comments or questions before we get into our topic.
And I want to say that since I've been standing behind that mic for the last 3 years, I never heard of you or seen you going to your own opinion. I never see you put that book down. That's what I thought. I never see you do that. So, but in this case, you better than this, or you think a little more than that, I can't have this phone or mention the work because you never seen with your own opinion. You always came to God, you know, or what the other man said. You know, I never seen you do that.
Allah, you better see. Now, this is, as the brother is saying, that the people, when they see Ahl al-Sunnah trying to practice the Sunnah, then they just try to come in to make like the people of the Sunnah are guilty of some crime or something by saying, well, Sheikh so-and-so says this. So the first people to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he please, he would have made all of the people in one position. So, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, but the people will be different, will differ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us what to do when the people differ. So the first people understand that the ulama have differed. So we're still the first people who want to follow the ulama and that which they are upon, which is corrupt in the Quran and the Sunnah. So I just wanted to remind so the people don't feel out of place. Unfortunately, the people of deviance, they just try to strong arm the people of the Sunnah with this confusion to lead the people away. Oh, you think you know more than Sheikh so-and-so? Okay, why are you not making Salat and Masjid Dirah and Sheikh so-and-so said it's okay to make Salat and Masjid Dirah? Or why are you calling it Masjid Dirah and Sheikh so-and-so, he's been calling it Masjid Dirah? I say, you look into the Quran and the Sunnah and say, the ulama, this is what we are upon. Come, bring both Ara out, bring those statements of the ulama we heard, and then show us where we wrong. This is what the people got to do. They can't just come out and say, oh, you're wrong, Sheikh so-and-so said this, and you say that. And this is how the people do. They don't want to come down to the church and look at it in light of the Quran and the Sunnah and the statements of the ulama, because if they did that, they already know they're wrong before they even come to that. And this is why they just try to confuse the people with their statements. Even as the people, unfortunately, recently, and this is from the same chapter, as the people have the audacity from Masjid al-Jarrah, to go to one of the restaurants on 4th Ave. And to tell the people, didn't you hear the event? No, just a fight. And the only thing stopping me from fighting you, you're Muslim. And I know you don't mean what you're saying. And I know you ain't going to take nothing here. They have a blasphemy to say after that statement of truth, where the person put him in check. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah, when he guided us to Islam, he gave us courage. And that the fear is of Allah and not of his creation. When you come from the mean nothing, a Muslim, by his iman, with him, wherever he goes, fear Allah wherever you are. Adam, you're a matter, it don't make no difference. I'm still Muslim. Somebody try to take my money, we're going to defend it. You ain't got to tell us the Catholic's coming, I'm coming to defend you and stuff like that. Catholics are telling me what he told us, what to do tonight, come looking for our money. We're rapping before we became to America. Okay? It's all. So you don't think you need our protection. And they don't need your protection. As we already know that the people of 4th Ave, when the Kufar rolled on them, they were the first ones who needed the protection of the rest of the Muslims. Even the deep people who are more deviant than them. I see that you used to call us deviant, now I see you need our help. So they have the audacity to say, we're going to boycott your store and we're not going to buy nothing from you. You see how the people who have left the past try to leave the innocent astray for fighting them. You say, you know what? My provision is from my Lord. If the whole world came in here and told me what you told me, I'd have nothing able to answer them except Allah is my provider. And if the whole world gathered together to do me some wrong, then nothing's going to take place except what Allah is waiting for me. And if they all come to say, I'm going to do you some good, ain't no good going to come to me except that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has waiting for. Even though our knowledge is on a level, it doesn't mean that if somebody comes more knowledgeable than us, that every time somebody more knowledgeable than us comes with something, we're going to follow it. We're going to follow it if it's corrupt. And we already know, alhamdulillah, how to know what's corrupt, because what is correct is from our Lord. So if somebody comes with something, it's coming from our Lord. Somebody say, here you can make salah and not to the salah. You have to show why Allah was wrong when he said, like, don't ever, never make salah in this. You have to show why you can make salah in this. Okay, no, that place isn't next to Dura. Then you have to convince the people how somebody's going to divide from the Muslims and the place not going to be called next to Dura. You want to show how somebody caused all this harm they caused for the Muslim community and their place not going to be next to Dura. As the ulama explained from the tafsir of this ayah. And the people, they always harp on the two other points of kufr and waging war on Islam. They say, no, they're not kufr. The ayah is saying you're kufr. What is the kufr in Islam other than leaving the jama'ah? This is called kufr in Islam. And this is when a person's blood becomes halal. We're not saying that the people's blood is halal because this leaving of the jama'ah is bigger than just the issue that we have here. But the division and that separation from the Muslims, this in itself is an act of kufr. And waging war on the Muslims. Waging war on the Muslims, either you're down with the Muslims, help them and do what they need to do, or you're against them. It ain't that somebody necessarily has to come out. And the issue of Masjid Dirar is in the latter years after the conquest of Mecca. Oh, the Muslims are powerful and strong. You tell me a little bit the Muslims going to tell the Muslims of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, after he conquered the Arabian Peninsula, we're going to take over? Well, nobody taking over nothing there after the Muslims was already strong and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them victory. But when you wasn't down with the program, that's the waging war against the program. But the people, when they don't understand, they try to harp on something and then bring it out to you like, see? Why don't you bring that foolishness to the ulama and explain to them, see? When the ulama already understand and they're going to tell you, let me explain to you so you can see. But unfortunately, the people of ignorance, they don't see what the ulama, and they don't learn this knowledge of this deed, or they wouldn't be called the people of ignorance. You call ignorance the ones to the ulama, you don't learn this deed. You're the people of deviance because you don't hang with the people on the straight path. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us in knowledge and to keep us on the Surah Al-Mustaqeem. As far as today's class, we come to the point of Abul Hassan Al-Ashari rahimahullah, and maybe I can add this last point. Abul Hassan Al-Ashari, this name Al-Ashari, the deviant sect in the Aqidah, Al-Ash'ara or the Ash'ariya, they are affiliated with Abul Hassan Al-Ashari, this man who wrote the Aqidah that we're studying. And if you remember in the beginning, we mentioned that he was upon one thing. When the truth came to him, he left what he was on, and he mentioned the truth that was coming. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. If somebody's unaware of this, he tells us, you're studying the book of Abul Hassan al-Ash'ari? Everybody knows that the Ash'aris are deviants. We tell him, Akhi, the issue is bigger than that. Then he says, well, so-and-so said nobody should be studying his book, Abul Hassan al-Ash'ari, because Abul Hassan al-Ash'ari is the leader of the Ash'ari sect that all of the ulama say are deviant because of their misunderstanding and many of the issues of Aqidah. We have to say that we heard what took place, and now it's clear to us that this Aqidah of Abul Hassan al-Ash'ari is corrupt, and in accordance with the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we've seen so far, that every point we've taken a look at the ayah and the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to show that what Abul Hassan al-Ash'ari is upon in this book is corrupt. This is in the light of the same thing. Some of the people think that it's compulsory on us to use a particular book on any particular subject in Islam. And that if we're not using a particular book, then it's like we're not really on what we're supposed to be on. The ulama of Islam who are upon the truth are many, walhamdulillah rabbil alameen. We could have taken one of 30 aqidahs just similar to this one that we're taking from the ulama of Islam. When we go to the issue of fiqh, we could take dozens of books written on that which is corrupt from the issues of fiqh. And the same thing for the other issues when it comes to purification of the soul. We could have taken another book other than the book of Riyad al-Saliheen. However, whatever book that we use from the ulama is that we're using from the ulama of the Sunnah, from Ahl al-Hadith, the ulama who follow the Quran and the Sunnah on the understanding of the Salaf. And whatever book we use from these ulama, we find that these ulama brought the same thing plus or minus a little. When we want to choose a book for ourselves, and I mentioned it sometimes, that we choose books that may mean or fit a little to our circumstances, a little more than the next book. Though all of the books written on the Quran and the Sunnah handles everybody's circumstances because everybody's a human being. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book and the statements and the actions of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is for all of humanity and deals with everybody's circumstances. But our times, as we mentioned, for example, in the etiquette, rather in this class of Aqidah, Abul Hassan al-Ash'ari was saying, you want to ask me why I'm not on the position of the Murjiya, why I'm not on the position of the Qadariya, why I'm not on the position of the Mu'tazila, why I'm not on the position of the Khawarij, I'll tell you the position you're on. And this is what we find Ahl al-Sunnah today here in America, we find ourselves on the same thing. So people ask, why are you not down with Jama'at so-and-so? Why are you not down with Ikhwan so-and-so? Why are you not down with the community of so-and-so? Because this is what we are upon. And then we explain in light of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, just as Abul Hassan al-Ash'ari did. Maybe some of the other ulama just began with the truth. But he began in a manner that we see is appropriate to our circumstances. The same thing when we told our class etiquette in Islam for women. If you deal with this issue of raising children, the book that's probably more widely known than any other book in the issue, Tuhfat al-Wadud, Li Ahkam al-Mawlud, Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyyah. This book deals with the verdict pertaining to the children. We put Ahmad al-Aysi, we have to Allah. He's from Egypt. He's living in our time. He's from Ahl al-Hadith. He referred to the Quran and the Sunnah and the statements of the ulama in his book, except that he adds a little flavor or a little clarification that's more appropriate to ourselves as he's living right in our time. And he's aware of all of the abortions that take place and how the hospitals and what they do nowadays. So sometimes you just want to take those people of the Sunnah who we feel are going to be a little more understanding to what we find ourselves in, or that they're addressing what we feel that we need, that what needs to be addressed amongst ourselves and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows us. So this issue isn't just an issue of a sex issue or an issue of aqidah. It goes all the way across the board. What books we read, who are the people we hang around with, and so on. That it's upon us to hold fast to the Quran and the Sunnah and the statements of the ulama, and then to practice that. And then if someone is going to come and say that, no, you're wrong, then it's going to be on that person to explain. And before he explains, he doesn't have the right to say, oh, you think you're somebody? You think you're better than somebody? That's why you take a position better than the ulama? No, nobody takes a position better than the ulama, but we love and we follow the ulama. And the ulama have differed with other ulama. And it's upon us to listen to what's being said and follow the best of us. The best of it. It's upon us to follow the scholars when they take us back to the book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains. So we understand that differences of an opinion takes place in Islam, but we have to understand that nobody can just come to us with these arguments to try to shout us or to shake our iman. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided us to the truth, inshaAllah ta'ala. Abu al-Hasan al-Ashari, rahimahullah, looks like that time is almost up. He says, indeed, he said, we say, and we, as referring to the people of the Sunnah, we say, indeed, that al-Imam al-Fadl, that the most outstanding Imam, and the most virtuous Imam, after the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. May Allah be pleased with him. Or may Allah's pleasure be upon him. And indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this deen mighty by means of Abu Bakr. And he made this deen overcome the murtadeen, or the people who left this deen, after they believed in it. And the Muslims are the ones who place Abu Bakr to this outstanding level of being the best Imam after the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam placed him above the people for the Salah. And the people, all of them, have named him, Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, the Khalifa of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. This is the statement of Abu al-Hasan al-Ashari, rahimahullah. Before we take a look at the explanation, we want to begin with a little look at Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu and his lineage, as he is, as his name is Abdullah ibn Uthman, who was Abu Quhafa, Abu Quhafa ibn Amr ibn Amr ibn Ka'b ibn Sa'd ibn Tayn ibn Murra ibn Ka'b ibn Luay al-Qurashi al-Tamimi Abu Bakr al-Siddiq ibn Abi Quhafa radiallahu anhu. And his mother's name is Umm al-Khayr Salma bint Sakhra ibn Amr ibn Tu'anni Abihi. So this is the lineage of in the name of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. I'm using the book that I was using last week, As-Sahih al-Muslim min Fada'il al-Sahaba, or the authentic hadith, or the authentic chain pertaining to the virtues of the Sahaba. And then there's many hadith with the virtues of Abu Bakr and Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And we'll take a look at some of these hadith and let this to be the explanation of the statement of Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari that he is the outstanding Imam and the most virtuous Imam after the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he says, حدثنا عبد الله بن محمد الجعفي قال حدثنا وهب بن جرير قال حدثنا أبي قال سمعت يعلى ابن حكيم عن إكرمة عن ابن عباس قال خرج رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم في مرضه الذي مات فيه عاصبا رأسه في بخرقة فقعد على المنبر فحمد الله وأثنى عليه ثم قال إنه ليس من الناس أحد أمن علي في نفسه وماله من أبي بكر بن أبي قحافة ولو كنت متخذا من الناس خليلا لاتخذت أبا بكر خليلا ولكن غلة الإسلام أفضل سد كل خوقة خوقة في هذا المسجد غور خوقة في أبي بكر. Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he said that it's a narrative to Abdullah bin Muhammad al-Ja'fi, he said that it's a narrative to us by Wahb ibn Jarir, who said that it's a narrative to us by my father, who said that I heard Ya'la ibn Hakim on the authority of Ikrimah on the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhum, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came out during the time of the sickness that he eventually died from. In his head, was wrapped up with a bandage. So he sat on the minbar and he praised Allah with that which he's worthy of being praised. And then he said, indeed there is no one from amongst the people more gracious to me with himself and his wealth than Abu Bakr ibn Abi Quhafa. And if I were to take anyone from amongst the people as a Khalil, as a very close friend, then I would have taken Abu Bakr as a Khalil. Rather, it's the brother, rather the brotherhood of Islam is better than that. So close up everybody's gateway or windowway to the masjid except the gateway or the windowway of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Here, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing that if it was possible to do this in Islam, to take someone as such a close friend, then it would have been Abu Bakr. And this is a statement from the Messenger of Allah alayhi salam, showing that he's placing Abu Bakr above the people. This is the Messenger of Allah alayhi salam, is saying that the brotherhood of Islam is better, showing that this is this brotherhood between him and Abu Bakr. Even though Abu Bakr has this place, that it's better to just keep the brotherhood as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has with Sahaba. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam also placed Abu Bakr and Siddiq radiallahu anhu above the people by telling everybody to close off their gateway to the masjid. The people, as we explained before, they used to build their houses were built around the masjid of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the people have a window coinciding with the window of the masjid. Meaning you look out your window into the window of the masjid to see what's going on in the masjid. And that the people have an alleyway, meaning you have your doorway, so come right by the doorway to the masjid and then to enter it. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam made everybody close off their way to look into the masjid and enter into the masjid except Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So this is some of the virtues that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to his servant, and alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. So here in this hadith we see the virtues of Abu Bakr and Siddiq, and it's one point that I wanted to mention. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam placed him above the people. This is to say that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is unfair. Abu Bakr is better, and he gave it to Abu Bakr. So this is
or lack of equality or whatever, but sometimes people, because of their virtues, are going to be placed over other people. As we know that Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one time one of the companions conquered the city. He fought jihad, won the battle,
conquered the city. And then Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, that ex-slave, you know ex-slave so-and-so? Make him the emir of that city. Umar, I conquered the city, you're going to make an ex-slave my emir? I was the emir of the army that conquered the city. How are you going to make somebody an ex-slave, an emir over top of me, over the city I conquered? Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he quoted the hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيَرْفَعُ بِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ أَقْوَامًا وَيَضَعُ بِهِ الْآخِرِينَ كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم وكان في لفظ أمان إن شاء الله. Hadith from the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, the Umar quoted, the meaning is that indeed Allah will raise some people by this book, referring to the Quran, and He will lower some people by this book. That ex-slave was the one who memorized the whole book of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So Umar placed him above. And Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he used to really like and place over everybody the people who memorize the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran. So you see there are people who have virtues, and these are virtues of the deen. Not that this my boy, I'm going to place him over top of everybody, but that he has virtues, outstanding virtues, because of his love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his following of the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they're going to place him above somebody else. If because of this, somebody takes over somebody else, alhamdulillah, these are the virtues that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to His servants, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mazbas, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabina Muhammad, wa subhanaka lahumu wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka, alhamdulillah. I'm not there any questions relating to the beginning of the virtues of Abu Bakr. Now, inshallah, we'll try to clean it. What's even better than that is just to tell the people we've heard the ayah, and we heard hadith, and we heard the statements of the ulama, and it seems it applies over there. This is what we understand, and this is what we're upon. If you want to explain, then why don't you go to explain to the one who explained it to us, and to show him where and how he's wrong in light of the Quran and the Sunnah and the statements of the ulama, because you know if he understands that he was wrong, he's going to come back and explain to the people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But to tell the people we've heard what we know from the Quran and the Sunnah and the statements of the ulama, and we follow it. If there's any discrepancies, I have told the people that if someone feels that there's something that comes across this mic or this minbar or from this masjid, whether it's pertaining to this deen or in administration, then bring it, and if we're wrong, we're going to correct it. Inshallah ta'ala. And this is why we saw, and I told the people that some people say, okay, the people of Masjid Dirar, when it comes to the deen, okay, they're not standing on anything. But still they have some validity if they say they have some administrative differences with the Islamic Sunnah of East Orange. This is also a lie, and we challenge anybody to come and say something is wrong with the administration, except when we're falling short, and we are the first ones to agree that we fall short, and that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to strengthen us and to give us success to do better, but that if anything is wrong, even in the administration, okay, bring it. Show us so we can correct it. And alhamdulillah that a lot of things go down publicly and the people can come publicly and address the, and announce their complaints or their concerns or whatever. Everybody can hear it and they can look at us to see if we really address even the administrative problems or not. Things aren't, alhamdulillah, like
it used to be as if some secret clique or something running the masjid, but it's the people here, alhamdulillah, who with their money and their time and their skills make this time of center of Islam what it is. So if somebody has something to say, they should bring it to the people and to see if the people are stubborn and if the people don't listen. But this statement that some of the people keep saying, yeah, I know there's a lot of administrative differences anyway. So I don't bring this statement up because this is a statement that there's no lie bigger than it. If somebody has something to say, bring it to the place. We know that the masjid is doing such and such, and that's wrong administratively because it's better to do such and such. Let everybody sit and listen to whatever the people agree to practice. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Walaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Right now, I think just we're going to start with the ones that the Shaykh Abul Hassan al-Ashari mentions in his Aqidah, and the ulama of Islam and the Aqidah in general, they mention the four. Four rightly got a Khalifa, Abu Bakr, then Umar, then Uthman, then Ali, and then after that, they usually mention the 10 people, the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, granted Jannah, being these four, and then the six more that were mentioned, inshallah ta'ala. Then the people usually mentioned, the people of Badr, then the people who accepted Islam before the conquest of Mecca, and then the companions in general. I don't think that this class, inshallah ta'ala, that we're going to be able to go companion, as we have the whole book in front of us, but we're just going to try to be a little brief and to cover the ones mentioned, and then hopefully in the future, inshallah ta'ala, either myself or one of the brothers would present this to the people in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. Yes.
The question I'm
The people of deviance are Muslims. And in general, we should be compassionate to the Muslims, and we are. Putting people right is compassion. When your child plays with the fire and you beat him, you being compassionate to him? You say, I see why you beating him. Show some mercy to your child. You say, yeah, I'm showing him some mercy. I'm saving him from that stuff he's into. Okay. Everybody has been more than too nice to Ahl al-Jirah. To the people of Masjid al-Jirah, nobody can prove that the people have been other than too nice to them for all that corruption and division they caused in the community, and they're still trying to cause it now. People give them a salam, people visiting them, people making dua for them, people explaining the issue to them. People have been more than compassionate to them. Anybody who's a little hard with them, this is the aqeed of Ahl al-Sunnah that we hard with the people who are Muslim who go away. Tell me, is this hard? The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam didn't give salam to his wife for 2 months and didn't say one other word to her either. You find that easy? If somebody came here and said, if a lady came here and complained and said, my husband didn't say one word to me for 2 whole months, he didn't even return the salam. What would we say about that brother? We start dogging the brother out. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam before us did it on a little statement of making fun about one person. And nowadays, somebody can make fun about a person, we won't say anything. We say, you know so-and-so, you know what's a lot out of here? Wallahi, we don't find it no problem for somebody to make fun of the other Muslims. So we have to understand that the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, is the one who taught us how to be with the Muslims. And sometimes you have to use a little pressure and a little harshness in order to get the people right. But the origin, as we're saying, is compassion to everyone. And it isn't for the criminals, and this is one of the statements of the criminals as we saw after the wafts, after the women, alhamdulillah, got wafted up, and now they understand, inshallah ta'ala, after the talk of the shameless women, we find that the criminals still come up with your compassion. Our compassion is for the Muslims. Everybody giving everybody the salat, everybody being nice to everybody, everybody's only being hard when the criminals come. Somebody comes slap you in the face, what you gonna do to him? Smile, say, may Allah forgive you, what have you. Then he slap you again, what you gonna do? Then he punch you in the eye, what you gonna do? He just punch you, say, hey, Muslim, how your eye get black? I say, you know, the Muslim needs to punch me in my eye. Yeah, really, what they did is worse than just punching somebody in the eye. As we try to explain that they actually had come in between men and their wives. They became between fathers and their sons and daughters. And here they lying on people of this last book. One of the brothers was visiting us, is going to defend himself against some lies in that book, the last book that came out, whatever the name of that foolishness is. The brother comes, he mentioned him, brother so-and-so, who was a graduate from the university in Medina, he's still such-and-such. From the University in Arabia. The brother comes to tell him, you told the people I'm the graduate from some place and I told you such-and-such, tell me to my face I told you that stuff. And the people wondering, he a liar? What do you mean is he a liar? Come tell a brother who he lied on, is he a liar or not? Well, really, the case caused more than too much harm, and the people have been nicer on them. And we tried to mention that, let them go to Saudi Arabia and try to do some foolishness like this, where people getting their heads cut off for doing that foolishness. And people amongst the ulama, for mistakes, being locked up and in house arrest and stuff, for some misunderstanding of the younger ulama. What do you think will happen to stupid people who don't know no Islam? What do you think will be the verdict for them when they go against the Muslims? So really, the people are there, all of the niceness, compassion, mercy, everything. Ain't nobody did nothing to them. Anybody over there get hurt? Somebody walk in your store and tell you, you better give me some money, I'm protecting you. Come on, okay? And they walk away, and ain't nobody hurt. So Allah had a people compassion to them all that stupidity they did. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Now, excuse me, the bubbles in Ilma Allah required that today was a little long, and hopefully if there are any questions or comments, that we'll try to take them next week, inshallah.